Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report for today. It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. I'll tell you what a circus it is here in the United States of America. I have a ton of information to get into. And with me, of course, sailing through or watching the high wire and the three rings circus and the jugglers and the, you know, mustached, bearded lady in the tent. Watching this with me and sailing through this, of course, is Randy Taylor, RT at HagmanPI.com, but a lot of information to get into. And the reason, okay, so I was thinking about the structure of today's show. You've got numerous things taking place overseas. You've got Taiwan, you know, the Chinese antagonizing and really preparing for the invasion of Taiwan. And folks, please, if you get nothing else out of that situation, understand that Taiwan was never, ever, ever, ever part of China, ever, ever, ever. So when you hear the one China policy, understand that whoever you're talking to or whoever's saying that has no idea what they're talking about. Or if they do, then they are certainly in the bed with the Communist Chinese Party. But so you've got that. You've got Russia. And tomorrow, Steve Quayle is going to be with me talking about the movement of Russian submarines in the Atlantic and also in some very provocative things taking place with Russia by NATO, by other countries. So we've got that to watch. And then, of course, you've got the Gaza situation taking place where the International Criminal Court wants, you know, Bibi Netanyahu arrested along. I mean, what a cluster that this whole thing is. And of course, emblematic or illustrative of the Biden regime, you can see where the Gaza Pier built by the U.S. Navy, they didn't take into account the waves, you know, that's sinking, okay? But worry not. I don't know if that's within the purview of Buttle Juice. I don't know. But all I can say is that really illustrates, I think, the sinking or the tanking of that pier. It is really illustrative of the left's status with respect to taking over this country. And, you know, a lot of times, and I was thinking about, again, the structure of this program, of this episode, I was thinking, okay, you know, where do you start? What's most important to in the triage of things, what's most important? And I recall my younger, much younger days. And I recall the summer, what was it? It was the summer of 74, the winter of 73, the summer of 74. And the Judge Sirica, the Watergate hearings, and watching that, and the entire country just captivated by the impeachment proceedings against President Richard Nixon. Okay. And thinking to myself, you know, the Watergate was not about what it was presented as. And history will show you that if you do a deep dive in history, you're going to find out Watergate was not about, what the Watergate Commission said it was about. Much deeper, much more nefarious things. Okay, so I'm looking at the events of today because we know history. It may not repeat often, but it certainly rhymes, as they say. So I'm looking at the events of today, And I'm looking at the difference between 52 years ago, 51 years ago, really, and today, and thinking, all right, because I was alive then, and I was paying attention, and I remember my folks, they were watching this all of the time. Captivated. The nation was captivated. You know, how dare a president abuse his power, the abuse of power, and so on. Again, the narrative of Watergate. So are we seeing the same thing here with the persecution of President Donald John Trump as the 45th president? We're seeing the same thing play out today. Just think about this. Because in today's environment, I believe that nothing is about what they say it's about. And I think that we collectively, every one of us, you folks who watch this show, tune into this show, and thank you, by the way, for tuning into the show. Thank you for telling others about it. We are growing on the audio portion. We are just absolutely exploding with our audios. And thank you for that, because by you sharing this program, it awakens many. And I try to be very stable in terms of the information I provide, because I go through just a metric ton of stuff to prepare for the show. And again, to triage what's taking place so we have the ability to be informed, and that includes me too, to be informed as to what's really taking place, and then act upon that information to prepare for what could happen next. That's kind of my goal, is let's all prepare together. Because we have, look, what's coming this summer, in my view, is going to make the 51 years ago Watergate hearings and the resignation of President Nixon, what happened back then is going to look like a footnote in history. I mean, not even it wouldn't even raise up to, it's nothing compared to what's happening today. So what's happening today, although I will add this with respect to Watergate, you've got some of the same agencies, the intelligence agencies that were involved then, involved now. Different faces, different names, but the same root agencies. And by the way, I believe at the end of the on Friday, Jack Cashel is going to be with me talking about, of course, January 6th, his book, new book out. I can't wait for that, but I have the book. I read the book. It's fabulous. He talks about the Jacobins and the agenda. It's really more, I mean, it's just an incredible work. But this is, in a sense, what we're seeing. You know, when Donald Trump came down that escalator, he was under persecution since that moment by forces that wanted to get rid of him because he was the ultimate disruptor of the globalist agenda. So we're seeing that today. And if you talk to Roger Stone, too, about Watergate and stuff, man, you can get an education about that. But just to bring things forward to today, what we're seeing today is really the preparations, at least by the globalist left, as they lose their grip on their objectives and their agenda, which they are becoming more desperate. And you and I know that desperation, man, I'm telling you, when you become desperate, when an adversary becomes desperate, all bets are off. No holds barred. I mean, that's where we're at today. I wouldn't put it past, because the left, the globalist left, in the pursuance of their agenda. And what's their agenda? Of course, it's multifaceted. You've got the climate agenda. you've got, you know, the plandemic and bioweapon agenda. You've got the transgendered agenda that includes the demonic pedophilic stuff that is just so sickening. You know, so that's part of the agenda to normalize that. And then you've got the essentially the entirety of the communist goals right into the congressional record back in 1963 by Representative Herlong. Folks, you know, I mean, I'm sure you recall reading about that. So that is the cornerstone, or those are the cornerstones or keystones of the globalist, which is really not just communist, but demonic in nature. So all of this in this year of 2024, which, by the way, is not for beginners, is all converging. So you've got really, because of the weakness, as I said yesterday, with respect to Afghanistan, what Biden, Obama, and the people behind it, that whole cluster again, you know, with the Afghan withdrawal, that was a hinge moment, a very important hinge moment, that really showed that this regime was not serious about projecting power, or at least, not serious about projecting power, to do what they did in Afghanistan. Which was not, had nothing to do, by the way, with the withdrawal timeline and the stipulations by President Trump. With what Biden did at Obama's behest and instructions, along with the other PNAC-style players in Afghanistan, really brought us into the forefront of weakness. World weakness, which is why, again, China's acting up. You've got Russia taking going into Ukraine. You've got Hamas smacking Israel. You've got all of this stuff. Oh, and let's not forget the African nations that are undergoing various coups and have undergone coups. And so all of this is converging now. So what we saw, so how best to present all of this, and how best to really show the desperation? Well, RT, Randy Taylor, and myself, we're going to lay out the, show you how desperate they are, and show you that they are showing their weakness and they're showing their hands in all areas, but the evidence is clear for anyone who wants to see. And where, I suppose, and again, after thinking about this, even though you folks, I know you've seen much of this, you've seen the analysis of this, the best way I believe we can approach this is the persecution of President Trump. And you may say, well, why? Because they're showing more of their hand than in any other part, any other facet of this multifaceted losing the grip on power. This is pure Marxist, Soviet style, North Korean style, Chinese communist, Chinese style persecution of a man, of a political opponent. And it shows how desperate they are to keep their grip on power. So that's the context for the rest of the show. So with that, Randy Taylor. Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. How you doing, sir?
I'm hanging in there, buddy. How you doing? It's
not bad.
This fine day, or following a Memorial Day weekend.
I'm telling you, man, we are, I can sense that everything that we're going to see from this point forward, as we are seeing the jury instructions given to the New York jury, as the jury will deliberate. And most assuredly, look, I am, unlike others, I am absolutely 100% convinced that of the 34 counts, President Trump will be found guilty in all 34 counts. That's my prediction. Do I believe in the hung jury? You know, ordinarily, yeah, because I've been around the courtroom quite a bit, both federal and state. But I got to tell you, Merchant is the kind of guy who's on the payroll of Soros, essentially, and who's making money from this trial by way of his daughter, Lauren Merchant, and Authentic, company she operates. I can see a jury coming back and saying, you know what, we're kind of hung up here with things. And him saying, now you go back until there's a verdict, and they keep sending him back. But all of the legal experts, all of the pundits that have legal experience that are rational and sensible are saying, look,
rational.
This whole thing is not rational.
You had to slip that one in there.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get that.
Rational. They don't know. They don't have a clue what that word means.
I do know
that Stormy Daniels was hoping for a well-hung jury.
The mattress actress was, huh?
Yeah, she wanted a well-hung jury. Come on, folks. Come on.
That's as bad or as good as Eric the Tech skin flute remark. I don't know, man. Oh my goodness.
The legal system is fried.
Well,
and the thing is, and it used to be that a person could say to themselves, I'll get my day in court.
Yes.
Well, you'll get your day in court now, but it ain't about you. This has been proven that they already have it decided before they swear anybody in. It's a circus, really, a dog and pony show. The sad part is the rest of us watching really have no recourse against it unless we want to get violent.
Well, that's on our agenda to discuss today.
You know, that's something that...
Not plans to get violent. The fact that violence is possibility.
But they keep pushing us to where we have no options.
Yeah, you're right.
That's their doing. That's not anything we did.
A different case in point. In Michigan, that lesbian Soros-funded attorney general is going after a highly decorated, long veteran police officer for chasing this career criminal and striking the man with his vehicle and fatally injuring him. Okay, but this guy's got a rap sheet longer than, you know, a Brooklyn phone book. Okay, and she's actually going after, she's filing murder charges against this highly decorated police officer. But that is the kind of stuff, I believe, that Americans need to push back on and rip out these people from office. I mean, rip them from office by their short and curlies, man.
Somehow, the judicial system itself, with just the judicial system, needs to be revised. There needs to be, a dead man switch, where when things are going totally south, that a certain act will be brought in, boom, that judge removed, another judge put in his place, you know, something. Because these judges are activist judges now, and they don't even hide it. Even the Supreme Court, you have to worry. When the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, damn it, I can't say it. The screwy old broad that died, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Correct.
Yes. She made no secret that she didn't like Donald Trump. She didn't care for the Republican Party. She was wide open about it while she was a sitting justice. That should never happen.
But hold the phone. But yet you've got Alito, his wife, putting up an appeal from heaven flag and flying the U.S. flag upside down on January 6th. And oh my gosh, the world is falling, yes, and Alito must recuse himself. And but the ethics, and by the way, the way the ethics works on the Supreme Court disallows permits dissenting opinions from spouses of Supreme Court members. So it's a bunch of BS. All that's smoke and mirrors. Go ahead.
No, and there was someone, I was reading something the other day, and I just started reading, and I clicked away from it, about one of the justices crying tears when the ruling is for the conservatives.
Oh, yeah, that's Sotomayor. Yeah.
Yeah, that one, the horse. Yeah, that one. I don't... that's the Supreme Court. Those are supposed to be like the angels on high of the legal system. I mean, they're supposed to be the last resort, the ones that set things straight. They're fried. They're done. They're over. I don't give a damn about what the Supreme Court has to say about anything. I really don't. I could care less. They brought that on themselves. I don't care what the local judge has to say.
Well,
I don't care.
We may want to care when the Trump case goes to the Supreme Court, and people have said, well, it's not going to go. It's going to go through the appellate courts and so on. But wait a second. Mark Levin consulted an expert and mapped out a way where this could rapidly, this case, New York case, could rapidly make its way to the Supreme Court. We'll get to that later. And if you haven't seen that, Mark Levin, his tweet from, I think it was yesterday, but I digress.
Is that because there's a pending election?
No, it's actually historic in nature, okay? It's rooted in history. I'll give it to you right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so let's say... Let's say President Trump is convicted on all counts. Okay, now this was a post by Mark Levin on Twitter on May 28th, which was yesterday, 8:47 p.m. And he writes this: here's how President Trump might seek a direct appeal now to the Supreme Court, depending on Manhattan's jury's decision. And he writes, and I'm going to read this, so bear with me. I asked my friend of nearly 45 years, Arthur Ferguson, who served as a law clerk to the late Chief Justice Warren Burger and one of the smartest lawyers I know, if he represented President Trump, how he might seek a direct appeal to the Supreme Court if necessary. And this is what he said. The U.S. Supreme Court can act by its statutory writs of certiorari to take a case from the lower appellate court. Okay, to remove it. And the court also has a host of other processes, often called common law writs. Now, again, our legal system, when it's working, is based in common law. He writes, I became acquainted with these common law writs. This is Arthur Ferguson now talking to Mark Levin. I became acquainted with these common law writs, actually authorized as a general matter by the Judiciary Act of 1789, and there is a link to that, this particular statutes, or that act of 1789, I'm sorry, when IBM sought review of a discovery, this is later, of course, when IBM sought review of the discovery order by a vindictive federal judge when I was clerking for Chief Justice Warren Burger. A total of 6 petitions were filed. All were denied, and rarely are any common law writs ever issued by the Supreme Court. But there are, nonetheless, multiple ways to offer the Supreme Court an opportunity, a chance, to forthwith review a conviction by a rogue court, as would be the case here. The principal ground I would rely upon is a denial of due process by not informing Donald Trump of the underlying federal crime he was alleged to have committed, the predicate crime that New York law requires to prove the New York crime. And again, to this day, no crime, no underlying crime to take this from an ostensible misdemeanor to elevate it to a felony to circumvent the statute of limitations on a bogus charge anyway, has not been defined. So this is, he said, see, for example, the Stalin show trials, Darkness at Noon. The timing of the trial and blatant denial of fundamental rights can only be explained by an effort to interfere with the fair conduct of a presidential election, thereby, in effect, denying the American people the right to a republic or Republican government. And he goes on. I would urge everyone, I'll put a link at, it goes on, but that is one way, and I'll put a link at HagmanPI.com. So this, if the jury comes back, and I suspect probably Thursday, with a guilty verdict or guilty on some role, and I'm not even sure how the jury instructions have been read. I haven't caught how the judge charges jury. All or some of the counts, if he's found guilty on that, this could be taken on appeal. I mean, this is the worst frigging case on the planet, okay, and the most transparently political persecution I've ever seen. In fact, real quick, and then I'll cut right back to you, RT, video 3, 58 seconds. This is Arthur, or this is Alan Dershowitz, who I'm not really a fan of, but I respect his legal career. Here it is, 58 seconds, video 3.
If there's a conviction here, it will change the justice system forevermore. It will weaponize the system. It will mean that both sides will try to use the legal system as a way of winning elections. And it will, you know, this is a stain on our legal system. If there's an acquittal, maybe at least we can say the jury system works. But if there's a conviction or even a hung jury, it will show that the prosecution benefits from bringing a case which is no crime at all. You know, when I wrote my book, Get Trump, what I said was I thought they would try to find a crime against Trump, find a crime the way Stalin and Lavrenti Beria, the head of the KGB, said, show me the man and I'll find you the crime. In this case, they couldn't find the crime. So they concocted one, they invented one, they made one up, and that's what's happened here. There is no crime here. 60 years of teaching, writing, litigating criminal cases. I've never seen a case as weak as this one.
So, RT, again, the prosecution, by the way, real quick, and then it's yours. Real quick, in New York, it's backwards. Closing arguments, okay, usually the prosecution goes first, as we see on television, you know, the TV dramas, and then the defense comes in having the last word. Well, yesterday, the closing arguments, I think 2.5 hours were allotted and taken by the defense, and then the prosecution came in and went 5 flipping hours. Now, and I'm going to shut up after this, but typically, and by the way, in every trial, I remember the murder trial I attended of a family member. Okay, the closing argument, both sides was closing arguments were under 60 minutes in length for a capital murder case. So the longer the prosecution spends in the closing arguments, the weaker the case is. I'm telling you that flat out. But Merchan wanted to take this, extend it, allow it to be extended, so the last words that the jury heard were, yes, was how bad.
Those are the ones that are going to stick.
Yes.
The guy back here, they have a tendency, the jury does, to forget all the points the defense made back here. And usually it seems like everything was in reverse order in a normal courtroom. It's like the prosecution always has to get the last word in this one. And that's bad for the defendant.
And that's sadly, or I don't know, that's how this particular court system in New York is set up. So, it shows you the weakness of this case, but the bigger, in my view, and again, I'm going to kick it, the bigger issue here is the persecution of a political opponent. And what I kind of want to segue into this because I want your take on this. Biden had denied, oh, this is, I had nothing to do with any of this. Yet yesterday, what did he do yesterday? He arranged essentially a campaign event at the start of closing arguments with
across the street.
With that piece of crap, De Niro, that washed up.
If you could slug somebody, wouldn't he be the guy?
Man, I'll tell you what, I'd be afraid to hurt the guy.
I would knock him flat on his ass. That is that guy. He is filth.
Yeah.
Absolutely is. If he thinks this is a great country, the way things are, there's something fundamentally wrong with him. And you have living proof that he doesn't experience the world every day like the rest of us do.
Precisely, okay? Man.
So I got his bodyguards out there. He'd be the first person to talk about anti-gun legislation.
And he has. And by the way, the two people behind him, the Capitol police officers behind him, one loser of an election, but those are Pelosi's darlings, Fanone and the other guy. I can't remember his name.
That's what the guy in the audience was saying, the two guys behind you. He wasn't talking about the bodyguards. He was talking about a couple of Pelosi's people behind him. And a lot of people didn't understand what was going on there. But yeah, that was absolutely a staged political event.
It was.
Absolutely. Because they know most of the people there that they were going to run into are against Trump. So they felt that they had an audience already built in that was going to be in their favor.
Yeah, yeah.
Because most of the people there are, one, they're the media and the legacy media or whatever. They're the ones that want to see Trump ride. You know, we're in a really, the next couple months are going to make a decisions. They're going to form the decisions for the following years behind it. So many things are going to happen in the next 2 months. And if we're alive, then we look back, we'll be able to almost pinpoint to the day when it all triggered, because what's going on in Israel, okay? I need people to think about this. Arab Spring. We've already explained the Arab Spring to you. And who were the last two holdout countries that the U.S. went after and it fell apart? Syria and Iran. And who are the two countries that Israel is provoking right now? Right? They're hitting bases in Syria and they're hitting bases in Iran. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I need everybody to remember something and look this up. Remember the names Gog and Magog in the Bible. Look them up. Okay? Because if you translate the Bible, it pretty much comes out that the enemy will come out of the north and descend upon Israel.
And we have to remember that Syria and Iran are proxies of Russia and
and remember that Iran couldn't kick Israel's butt, Syria couldn't kick Israel's butt, Russia can.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And we're getting into some. And you marked the words on the show today. You pay attention to what I'm saying. That you're going to see if this continues present course. And this is going to happen fast because they can't let Trump into the White House. They're going to make these military moves very fast. Okay, because if Trump gets in the White House, Putin would not proceed. Okay, because Trump would really crawl up Israel's butt and tell him to stop. And they would have to listen or they get no support. We're in very precarious times right now, ladies and gentlemen. Scary times. Okay, and here the other one, as Doug mentioned earlier, Taiwan. For a country that Biden has taken all kinds of bribe money from, they sure are rearing up and proving themselves to be our enemy. At some point, we're going to have to go to guns with China. At some point. Just the way things are shaking out. And like I said in the Bible, don't ever assume that the U.S. is in the Bible. And remember, in that dragon's head, what is it? One of the heads are destroyed. I want you to stop and think about these things. I just gave you enough to think about for a good while. It's getting really scary.
Yeah, you did.
This is getting very scary. And here's what scares me. The timetable is what scares me. Okay, they cannot, if Trump comes back today with a hung jury, or even not guilty. I mean, I'll be honest with you. That jury might be sitting there and saying, what the hell, and watch it. See, they're seeing the things that we don't see. All we get is a news anchor's report. The jury's actually sitting in there watching this judge and probably wondering. I'm sure they've all been near a courtroom or had a relative in a court before. And they're watching this, that they're actually a jury being used where there was no crime committed.
That's great. And by the way, there are two attorneys on the jury.
There you go. There you go. We don't know the outcome here.
No,
we pray about it. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to stop right now what you're doing. Okay? Pause the show for a second. And we need you to pray. You need to pray that God protects Donald Trump.
And protects all of us, protects the country.
Today?
Yep.
Donald Trump.
Yes.
We want our Lord's hands down around Mr. Trump and the people with him today in that courtroom. Because whatever happens in that courtroom is going to be the deciding factor of what happens outside of that courtroom.
Amen. All right.
And they cannot have Donald Trump ever get in the White House. That's why they're doing this sham thing. They ran out of everything else. They know that Biden is not, they know they cheated. They know they're not going to be able to pull that off again to the degree that it affects anything. Well, there's going to be cheating in the election. As long as Democrats live and breathe, there will be cheating in elections.
That's right.
That's a fact. These people are garbage. Okay, and I'm not going to have little snot-nosed kids, 18 years old, deciding my life for me. Okay, because the college professor told him to vote for Biden. You know what? Up yours, you little snot. I look at these kids today, 18 years old. They don't know their ass from all on the ground. 18 years old. I already had 6 months in the U.S. Army. Yeah. Tell me about it, you little farts. You look at them today, I wouldn't trust you to go to the grocery store and back.
Yeah, and that's a sad.
And the only ones, honestly, that I see are the Christian children that were raised right. I do see promise in them. Because you know what? They still say, yes, sir, no, sir. They look you in the eye when they talk to you. And they don't have enough crap hanging in their face that you would mistake it for your tackle box.
Oh, and by the way, later in the show, we do have a report about how Christian children are being attacked.
Yes. And let's you know what? We don't have a lot of time. Let's keep moving on these videos. Because, Doug, this is a very, very good list today. And I encourage you, if we don't get all the videos in, please, after the show, go there, watch the videos yourself. Cool thing with Doug, that's set up a show prep. So they're short videos.
You can absorb all of them.
Yeah, but you can watch them. Okay. You're not going to be there all afternoon, but the point's going to be made. And please bear with us today. Yeah. I'm very concerned for everybody hearing my voice and your families and your friends. What's going to happen in the next 2 months in this country? Okay.
We're going to see war in the streets.
I don't sleep. I don't sleep worth a damn anymore.
Yeah. Well, neither do I.
I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen. And whatever it is, we're going to meet it head on. And whatever it is, it's going to cost us. But we're going to prevail in the end. If we don't prevail, it would be the Lord's will that we didn't prevail. Because it won't be for lack of trying.
Good point. And you know, you think about what this country has exported by way of the deep state.
Quickly, Matthew 24.
Yep.
And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these are the beginning of sorrows.
Thank you.
And you keep reading that. Okay, that is Matthew 24, and I knew it was 6, but I just pulled up 6 through 20, and it's going to talk about when they come and get you. And you're going to have to proclaim whether you're the Lord's child or not, and you're going to be killed. It says it plain as my face.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you can't find it, email me. I will send you the passage directly.
I'll put it in the show prep. Matthew 24, verses 6 through...
I would go 6 forward. Yeah. Never, and please don't fall for this, never just take one verse and leave it at that, okay? Don't ever take a section of a verse and try and use it, okay? You got to take the entire verse, and you need to look at the verse before it, and you need to look at the verse after it. Please.
I agree.
Always do that in your Bible study, because that's how things get taken out of context. And I'm just telling you as a simple man that, you know, I've read the Bible many times. I've read the Bible cover to cover at least 4 times. I know so much about the Bible, I hate to say this, that I correct ministers when they're wrong. Not openly. not openly. Pull them aside after church very quietly and tell them, you're mistaken. Okay? Like, people always think that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. No, he wasn't. He was swallowed by a large fish. It never says whale in the Bible. I just made you go. If you use that one, you'll look really smart. Okay, Doug, videos, man.
Well, there's little things like that. Whale thing, okay.
Yeah, but there's little things like that that you need to know. Words are important. Words can change the entire context.
And the original translation, too, is close to the original words that were used, whether...
King James Version is a really good one as far as originality.
Yep.
Okay. There is another Bible pre that. That's very confusing. King James is confusing enough, but it's as close to the real deal as there is out there.
And I totally agree with you. That's what I use, King James only. Not the new King James, but the King James. Yep. Exactly. All right. So I was looking at the encapsulation of what happened yesterday and kind of like the capstone of the last several weeks at the trial. And many, many, many outlets had different, they presented different videos and stuff. So I whittled it down to one, and this is from Steve Gruber. I think it was today, might have been last night. I guess it was from last night. It's about 4 minutes long, but hang with this. Steve Gruber kind of talks about... He kind of runs the span and addresses several items, and I think it best encapsulates where we're at. So this is video one in the show notes. Again, HagmanBI.com. Click on the headline. By the way, folks, if you do go to HagmanBI.com, the video is repaired. The integration between the video on the website and the video on Rumble that's been repaired. And I want to thank Jared very much for his work on that. So, but here's video cut one from the show notes from Steve Gruber. It's right around 4 minutes. And but pay attention to all of this. Here it is. Wait a second. Hang on a second. I think I mislabel something? Because that's not what I was showing. Hang on. Hold on. Let me look at this.
While Doug's looking for that.
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys are going to know, and this is in relation to protest. And my wife pointed this out to me. She's very, very sharp when it comes to anything Islam, counterterrorism, things like that. If you listen to these videos and what's happening more and more in these marches, you have one person says the words, crowd repeats. Person says the word, crowd repeats. That's only in these U.S. protests. If you go overseas, someone will speak, but nobody repeats. The crowd doesn't just repeat. So there's two formats we're seeing here. That, to me, indicates the level of Westerners involved in these protests, because that's more like a union protest when someone says something and you repeat it. That's like a political protest, you know, like when you're campaigning, they say it and you repeat it. It's not a typical anti-war Muslim protest. One, Muslims usually don't give a damn about wars. Of course, they're crying about Palestine. There's a different set of circumstances. But you just notice the format. If you get a chance, just look up protest in Iran or Iraq. Note the format. Protest in the U.S., different format. And I have one really big question, and anybody can answer it. Where is Linda Sarsour? Where is she? I don't know.
You know, that I would is be concerned. A very good I would, point.
I would be concerned. She's not visible. Usually she's out there running her mouth. Usually she's out there openly running things. There's something else on the horizon. She's more of an advanced domestic terrorist, as I would call her. She's a terrorist, in my opinion, period. Plain and simple. So if you support them, you're in bed with them, you're a terrorist. That's it. I don't care. Can't talk your way out of it if I saw you there with a flag. Where is Linda Sarsour? There is not a trace of her.
You might want to explain who Linda Sarsour is. Who she is.
She's a young lady that is right in the heart of anything anti-West. Okay, she's out there. Anything that has to do with making Islam better than non-Islam, she's in the middle of it. Okay, she's a huge, huge. Now she has this great capacity for generating funding and money. Okay, she calls the ball on a lot of the anti-American stuff in this country. Look her up. Just look up Linda Sarsour. S-A-R-S-O-U-R, I believe.
S-A-R. You are correct.
Okay. Yeah, Sarsour, that one. Just read up. That one you could, and I don't recommend doing this all the time, but you could just go Wikipedia on that, and you'd get a good enough description. You'd understand what we were saying. My concern is, where is she? She's unaccounted for. And if she's unaccounted for, there's some real high-level stuff fixing to come.
And with that, you also notice, as Eric the Tech is, I did find and repair the link, but
that's the analyst in us. I mean, when somebody's missing from the party, we want to know why.
And you know, at the military base, two Jordanians mm-hmm. in an Amazon box truck. I think it was Jordanians or Syrian. Illegals, a dry run, okay, at the military base here in the U.S. I'm telling you, you're correct about Linda Sarsour, as well as others in the background that are not being
Squad. Where's the squad?
Yeah, yeah.
Where that? I'm telling you, something is going on that's even bigger, because the squad isn't in around running their gator.
Again, very true, and that's a good point for discussion. Absolutely,
even this point. I just want to bring it up because it puzzled me.
And you know how quickly too we have forgotten about Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Awan brothers, the computer laptop back in what was it? Probably 10 years ago now, 8 years ago. All of this now, I think, is coming.
Go ahead.
I really believe that.
The verdict today is going to light a fuse.
Well, I wouldn't expect a verdict today.
Whatever verdict it is, the next couple of days, when it comes, it's going to go that way or that way. Either way, it's going to light a fuse.
But it's going to piss somebody off. Regardless of the verdict.
Yeah. It's because if he found not guilty, they're going to come out of it. There could be somebody outside that courthouse that plans to try and kill Mr. Trump, President Trump.
That's a possibility.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to pray for that man's safety.
Amen.
Even if you don't like him, by golly, I don't want to see him killed. And you can't question his love for the country. And forget about all the shots and all that in the very beginning. Okay, he was the one pushing for the ivermectin. All right, this what happened with the shots. He was based on false information. I mean, if you're the president, you got everybody on the planet trying to take you out. You're buried up your eyeballs, not even able to do your job because you're dealing with legal crap everywhere. And then this epidemic hits. That was perfectly timed, and they did it on Trump's watch for a reason. I don't know what I would have done initially if someone came in and dumped that in my damn lap. And I'd like to think that you would like the way I make decisions, the radio audience. Streaming audience. I would like to think that you folks would trust me with something like that. Honestly, I don't know what I would have done initially. It would have been a lot of prayer. Because things like that, I mean, you're responsible for the lives of 350 million people.
I'm telling you what, too, he was right, you know, and then misrepresented about the bleach and about the light and about.
Yeah.
I mean, the media, of course, is not your friend. But anyway. All right. So we do have this queued up.
Yeah, we have some videos here somewhere.
Yeah. It was my fault.
Sorry. I'm sorry. No. I've been running my mouth. I'll shut up.
No. You know what, though? when you've got 10 tabs open and all these videos, sometimes you make a mistake, and I made a mistake, but
it's tough being human, Doug.
Oh man, yeah. Well, Eric the Tech bailed me out. Here's from the Steve Gruber Show, right. Real America's Voice. Now, this kind of encapsulates all of yesterday, but it does kind of show, I believe, the best of the best. That it kind of represents the entirety of the persecution. Go ahead.
Has to do just one thing, play the lawfare card and keep Donald Trump jammed up in court for as long as possible and roll out the Hollywood crowd to prop up the Biden campaign. Robert De Niro showing up for a press conference put together by the Biden campaign with special guests, they said. And De Niro just seemed like a bitter, hateful slob. It was unpleasant. Here's part of it.
When Trump ran in 2016, it was like a joke. This buffoon running for president. No, never could happen. We'd forgotten the lessons of history that showed us other clowns who weren't taken seriously until they became vicious dictators. With Trump, we have a second chance. And no one is laughing now. This is the time to stop him by voting him out once and for all. We don't want to wake up after the election saying, what, again? My God, what the hell have we done? We can't have that happen again.
Oh, yes, but then it got worse. Some of it I can't even show you because De Niro went into full meltdown, attacking anyone who called him out and said, Bob, nobody cares what you think, but this is what the Biden campaign rolled out, a relic from Hollywood. Here's a bit of that meltdown.
For these lowlives, for Trump.
They lied under oath.
They lied under oath. Right. Who lied under oath? What are you telling me?
Those two traitors behind you.
Excuse me?
Those two traitors behind you.
They lied under oath?
That's right.
What are you saying?
They're traitors.
You gotta, I don't know, I don't even know how to deal with you, my friend. I don't even know how to deal with you.
From there, it went off the rails completely. Not a good look. In fact, it was fairly pathetic, honestly. Jason Miller, one of the chief advisors to the Trump campaign, called out Joe Biden for turning the Trump trial into a campaign event, which is exactly what he did. It was embarrassing. Listen.
Biden now making this a campaign event after months of weaponizing the legal system against President Trump? Because Joe Biden's numbers are in the tank. The headline for today in Politico very simply said Dems in freakout over Joe Biden. Joe Biden is losing nationally. He's losing in every single battleground state. And President Trump's numbers continue to rise. And the best that Biden can do is roll out a washed-up actor. And don't worry, my remarks will be shorter than the Irishman. I won't make you suffer for 3 hours. But the best they can do is roll out a washed-up actor. Last week, President Trump spoke in the Bronx. We had over 25,000 people show up to rally around him. And the best the Biden campaign could do was put out a web video with Robert De Niro.
Yeah, that's the best they can do. And then they roll out Robert De Niro in person. All right, so, as I mentioned at the top, jury instructions today, and then to the jury this case will go. Alan Dershowitz says the judge in this case is going to deliver biased jury instructions to get the conviction he wants, that the DOJ wants, that Joe Biden and his campaign desperately are seeking, even though it's not going to change anything. Yeah, Dershowitz says this is all on strings. Here he is.
In court, and if the past is prologue, you can expect an extremely unfair instruction, biased in favor of the prosecution and against the defense. And so even though this is the weakest case in my 60 years of experience, having done hundreds of cases, perhaps more than any living lawyer, maybe any lawyer in American history, private lawyer, I've done more criminal cases, taught them, wrote about them, litigated them, argued them on television. I have a whole series called Great Trials where I write introductions to over 100 of them. Something I really know pretty well. There has never in my experience been a weaker case than this one. Never. I've never seen a weaker case.
All right. That was Steve Gruber and Alan Dershowitz. Wow. Having trouble.
Don't you wish that Effie Bailey was still alive?
Oh, you know,
he would have tripped. He was the type that would have ripped this judge in half.
I'm going to tell you, it doesn't even take that high caliber of an attorney to do that. Yeah. Because
but he'd have the balls to do it. When you're that famous, you get away with more in a courtroom. That's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, hold that thought because. I want to thank those people who support us, and I want to thank our sponsors real quick, including and especially given the fact that I have a chart that I was going to put up earlier in the show, but under Biden, energy costs have gone up. I'm looking at a chart right now, 38.8% since 2021. So I want you to think about that. Almost 40% energy costs have risen. So what can you and I do to combat, to bring down our energy costs? Well, I've got just the thing for you. Go to don'twastepower.com, don'twastepower.com, to get up to 66% off right now on a device. You know, as I said, energy, 38.8%. Groceries, rent, gas, they're not the only bills that are rising to unaffordable levels. Although groceries are up 21.1%, eggs alone, 50%. But over 20 million households right now are behind on their power bills. Some power companies across the nation have a massive 13 million in uncollected bills because the average household, you and I, we just can't afford the rising costs of electricity. Yet the power companies show no sign of lowering prices. And that's why I'm lowering my energy bills. And I've had this long enough to see and experience the savings. Thanks to today's sponsor, eSaver Watt. eSaver Watt. And I absolutely love the cost savings it brings to me, what you see on the screen, folks. Thanks to eSaver Watt, I'm able to slash my power bills, beat the utility companies, and keep more money in my pocket every month. The eSaver Watt plugs into any wall outlet in a home and immediately gets to work on saving me money by plugging in this device into a home's wall outlet. In fact, I got like three, and I would the more the better in my view. It helps stop a home from wasting unnecessary energy, reduces the home electricity usage, extends the lifespan of appliances, you know, against power surges and such that we have here quite frequently, as a matter of fact, and ensures a consistent and safe flow of electricity throughout the home and much more. The cost savings in the first month alone had the eSaver Watt paying for itself. So, folks, please visit don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Simply click the link below in the description box to get the nation's leading way to lower energy bills, up to 66% off and free express shipping, plus several other bonuses with every order completely for free. That's don'twastepower.com. I want to thank them for sponsoring this program, and thank you for your support. But RT, so comment, if you don't mind, on the on what you saw with De Niro, the blowback.
De Niro, he's washed up, like they said. Okay, the guy described him very well. It's a washed up actor. He is constantly running his mouth about Donald Trump. It isn't like his is purely, he's not trying to help America, bolster America, offer a valid alternative. If you offer Biden in place of Trump as the alternative, you're an idiot. Okay? So they need to take the microphone away because you're too stupid to be up there talking. But De Niro has been doing this. It's like Rob Reiner, you know? big mouth going, these people do not live in reality. They don't use the same grocery stores that you and I use. They don't go to the same restaurants that you and I go to. They don't use taxi cabs like we have to. These people live a different life. What's going on in the population? These are the type of clowns that believe, like that, who's the little actor that, Catch Me If You Can, DiCaprio. He gets invited to the World Economic Forum stuff. Okay? He's always there. These are people that don't live on our planet. Just do an aerial view of their house. Enough said. These people don't live like we do. They need to shut up because they don't know what the everyday American family has to face when you've got to decide between a utility and putting groceries on the table. That's no joke. I kid you not. This year is the toughest year, I think, for this platform, the Hagman Report, financially. It's a tough year. And I'm going to step out of my place. God, I don't own anything or run anything, but I'm going to say this. The people that are supporting us, I love you. They love you. We love you. We could not do this. We've got things that we have to do this year before the election, places we need to be that are out of our budget. Please. If everybody in our radio voice that could hear me right now, if everybody that could hear me put $2 in an envelope and send it to us, it would be answered prayer. You think, oh, my money doesn't make a difference. No, your money makes a difference. Okay? We're looking at the end of life as we know it.
Yeah.
Before this election. Folks, I'm trying to beat that in your head. I'm not trying to, you know, create a dismal day for you. I'm telling you what reality is. There's even more reality. Okay? They're going to start grabbing Christians. Yeah. And they're going to ask you point blank whether you believe in God or not. And if you say, yeah, it's a good chance you're going to take a bullet in the head. And I want you to think about something. If you aren't prepared to defend your country, what makes you think that on that day you're going to say, yes, I believe in my Lord?
And by the way, even if you refuse to say it, you're still going to die. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just telling you. And if you can't deal with it now, how are you going to deal with it then?
Yeah.
We have to stop this in its tracks. Okay, I got surgeries coming up, and I'm ready to go. If somebody just make sure I don't fall on my face, I'll get in a trench with you. I don't have a problem with that. I'm pretty damn good with a rifle.
Folks, it's pretty scary with a rifle.
Anybody that knows me well, like Doug, knows I'll shoot the balls off a hummingbird. I'm telling you.
I'm pretty sure
This is going to get nasty. And here's the thing. Everything right now in this country, and whether you want to believe it or not, actually is about Trump. Everything right now is about Trump. He's the only person in the entire lineup that is going to stand up to the World Economic Forum. I just found out a couple of days ago by accident that people that I know in Canada are having their retirement funds managed by the World Economic Forum, courtesy of the Canadian government. Nobody knows that. I saw it officially. We stumbled on the page. We saw it. And I have friends up in Canada, dear friends, and they don't even know that. The World Economic Forum is managing their, you're talking about billions of dollars. And also the CPP, which is retirement for regular Canadians. Well, we got problems, folks. Do we even know who's running it in the States here? Do we know? I'll bet we don't know all the ins and outs of it. I'll tell you right now, if you don't think the World Economic Forum is in there somewhere, they're in there. They've been signing deals with individual cities all across the United States. I kid you not, your mayors and your governors have been making deals with the World Economic Forum behind your back. Look into it. I don't lie, and I don't pull anything out of my butt just to get a headline. I'm telling you what's going on, because we are a republic. That's who they need the signatures from. President, he can make his choice, whatever. It don't amount to crap. Okay? I'm telling you, we're in trouble. We need to be talking to our sheriffs. We need to be talking to other people. Because, you know, every day that you come in, turn the thing on and tune in, do your computer, and you get the Hagman report. Okay? There's going to be one day you don't. They're already trying to clip us. If I'm international at any time, you have no idea what I have to go through to get into a stinking Zoom meeting. I'm not kidding.
By the way, I can't guarantee you we're going to be here next month.
I know you can't. You can't. But ladies and gentlemen, please, we're not asking for a lot. A couple dollars. To you, it's a couple cups of coffee. And the folks that are doing it now and can't do another dime, we love you. And there's some people I've known from Doug who won't take their money because they're creating stress for themselves and they don't have the money. But they'll send it money in with a note and the trouble. And that money going right back to them. I know that. I've witnessed it. Now, if that isn't a man with a clear conscience, Mr. Hagman over there, my friend, if that isn't a man that's got a clear conscience and does the right thing, I don't know who does.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
You know, that touched me. That touched me when I saw that. That touched me, Doug. I'm sorry. No other radio person would do that. I don't care what name you throw up at me. They would have took the money. My friend puts it in an envelope, stamps it, and sends it right back with a wonderful letter.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's who you're dealing with here. So if you think we're going to get on here and tell you any lies or are going to build up the headlines just to have you here, we're not. Ladies and gentlemen, this broadcast is going to happen as long as this broadcast can. And if you want to see us and keep us on here, because there's going to be a day that the format's going to change a little bit, and I'm going to be asking you this, that, and the other. We're not going to get any details online. I will not. We may have to go on a Girl Scout cookie drive. Anybody knows what that means? You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't know that the train is in the tunnel. Why do I have five flags up today? I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, get with us. Please.
And we're not talking about the Yellowstone train station, although that's an option.
No, but listen, I love you guys. I love Thug. We both, and Eric, we love you guys. You are our family. You're our family. I'll take a bullet for you, man. Think about that. Who do you know that would actually jump in front of a bullet? I know, because I've done it before. When I say I love you, I mean it.
You, I'll tell you what, folks. RT's got a wonderful story to tell, and I hope one day I'm able to get with him to write his
Working on a book. Yeah, it's going to fry your mind, because I'm just, when you meet me, I'm just a regular guy. But this regular guy done a lot of stuff.
Done a lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff, and even to where the government wouldn't admit it and took the credit themselves.
Yeah.
But that's fine. If the life was saved, I don't care who took credit for it. I don't care. Save the life. It's an American. Don't ever turn your back on Americans. And I will never do that. I will die next to you somewhere.
You know?
And know that.
So, okay. Getting
what's our next video? Well, if I didn't eat up some time there, I don't know who would.
That's all right. But you know, when we look at what's happening in America today, and always think about what Andrew Breitbart said, that politics is downstream from culture. Okay, we have culture rot in this country. But before I get to that, let's close out the Trump trial persecution with this final video. Eric the Tech gets the Hava video that I sent separately. It'll be in the show notes under video 6, I believe. This is really kind of a summary wrap-up, and it'll tell you pretty much everything you need to know in the wrap-up. Okay, until we see a verdict. And the one thing, RT, the one thing after this video, I want you to address this. When in the history of our republic, now, we've had numerous times, from Eisenhower to Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan and others, presidents who absolutely hated, detested other incoming presidents or outgoing presidents. Okay. They just didn't like each other. They refused to meet. You know, it used to be where they used to have at the change of power, they would have tea together. But that all changed mid 20th century. You could argue it went back further than that. And in some cases it did. But now the hatred from Biden against Trump is just off the charts. And we saw this with that debacle with De Niro yesterday. And the mask came off with that, because that was a campaign-oriented event. Okay, sad, but that's what it was. But this next video and the final one about this trial, but I think it's important because this is history. And this is Alina Hobbit, or Hava, not Hobbit, Hava, Donald Trump's attorney. And I think the summary here, including the other bits embedded in there, is very telling about what's taking place.
She's a smart girl.
Yeah, here it is.
So closing arguments are done, and we still don't know what the crime of the trial of the century is. Even CNN says Bragg fell short.
You think, after listening to all of this, you think they fell short. How?
They fell way short, because let's start with reasonable doubt. There is reasonable doubt all over this case. Where is Keith Schiller? Where is Alan Weisselberg? How did Michael Cohen get away with stealing $30,000, hold a pity party for him, made $4 million on this, thought he'd be chief of staff. He's a fixer. Stormy Daniels, let's hold a pity party for her. It's everywhere.
Trump legal spokesperson Alina Hava joins me now. Alina, so you were there. Closing arguments. Todd Blanche, Trump's defense counsel, went first. And then I guess the prosecution, did 5 hours?
Right.
That's what you have to do when you haven't proven your case in trial. You plan that you have this great big break, and then you come up and you say, oh, guess what? I get to go do an argument, and in my entire argument, guess what, everybody? They don't get to rebut anything I say. So they took 4 hours to tell their story. I actually had to leave. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was insane.
Probably need a bathroom break. It's a very, very long closer.
Yeah, but
what was the point? Did they have a crime at the end of this?
No.
No, still they haven't named the crime.
They could not give us any evidence. It was a lot of noise, and that's what we keep seeing, Jesse. There was not one bit of evidence that showed that Donald Trump had an intent to commit any crime. And I'm still, as I sit here as an attorney, trying to understand how they could have possibly brought this at this point, wasted this much taxpayer dollars, passed the statute of limitations, and then had the audacity to make a jury sit there until 8 o'clock with a bunch of nonsense and shiny balls, as she just said, right, because that's all they've got. They've got no facts.
So we're hearing from inside the court, and you can confirm this, every time defense raised an objection, overruled.
Overruled.
Judge overrules every objection from the defense and sustains every objection from the prosecution.
Yeah, I can't relate to that at all. It's unbelievable. I mean, you've seen it, and the way that the visceral reaction that this judge had when we had our one witness come up and he threw the press out, that kind of anger, that kind of TDS, frankly, we saw it with De Niro today. But that is what we're challenged with. We're dealing with people that are either going to believe a story. It was like sitting in make-believe land with the prosecution today, or you're going to listen to the facts. And the facts took us an hour and a half to break down. There were none. And you've got a person that is a complete liar that you're relying on. It was pretty simple for us. It took them a very long time to try and bob, weave, and make up stories.
You were there in the courtroom for almost every single day. You laid your eyes on the jury.
Yeah.
They're going to start deliberating tomorrow. I know we don't like to make predictions about this. You saw them absorb the closer this evening. Mm-hmm. We're going to get a result Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. What are you feeling?
I don't feel like, first of all, we can call it a closer when it was 5 hours. It was more like a long movie that wouldn't end. But
right.
I think that, honestly, if they do the right thing, and considering that we're in New York, I think we should get a hung jury. But like any hung jury, the judge is going to give them an Allen charge. He's going to tell you to go back, restudy everything. You're the jury that can do this. So maybe 3 days max. I mean, I'd hope so. It, to me, should be an acquittal.
Right.
But I'm not a New York liberal person sitting.
Thank God you're not. All right. Well, maybe
Jesus.
By the end of the week, we could get some sort of verdict. Thank you so much, Alina Haba.
You can
Thank
cut
you.
That. That in the show notes is video 6 for those keeping track. I don't think we need any further commentary, RT. But to what you said, or another video, I do want your commentary on this. Okay, this is video 4 in the show notes. This, to me, is something that while the circus distractus, as Steve Quayle might call it, is taking place in New York and the persecution of President Trump. What's the deep state / blob / Biden regime, Obama, what are they doing? Well, video 4, it's under 3 minutes. Look at this and consider what's happening when we're looking over there and stuff is happening over here. This is video 4 in the show notes, HagmanPI.com. Here it is.
I want to talk about the Chinese nationals that are crossing. Already in fiscal year 2024, there's been 30,000 arrested trying to cross illegally into the United States. I mean, that surpasses the entire fiscal year of 2023, which was the highest number ever. So when we look at the cartels, what is really the relationship right now between China, Mexico, China, and the cartels? How much influence does China have right now in Mexico, specifically with the cartels?
Specifically, it is all the way around. The cartel has a lot of influence with the migration of China. And starting from the cartel that is the cartel of Colombia, El Clan del Golfo, now they are expanding all the way to Turkey because China is flying them to Turkey. And from Turkey, they're flying them to Colombia. Just to get to know, ladies, not too long ago, the president of Panama tried to shut down the Darien for the trafficking and the enormous smuggling of people that they're paying exacerbated amounts of money, like the migrants from China. They're paying between $30,000 to $35,000. Immediately, the government of Colombia said, no, we are not going to stop the migration into this particular area of the Darien because they know that it's a humongous business. So it is not only the Chinese, you know, they're sending massive influx of Chinese people, but the cartel has a lot of power now in Central America and South America, and ultimately in the northern borders with Mexico and the United States, that they control the open border gaps, and they are basically eradicating each other, fighting each other for open border areas for them to traffic and be smuggling continuously. This amount of people that they're paying exacerbated amounts of money.
Yeah. Well, Oscar, speaking of Chinese and Chinese nationals coming across our border, you know, one of the hotspots right now is San Diego for illegal border crossings. And you're seeing, I mean, we're seeing reports, the border's right there with Tijuana. We're seeing reports that virtually no Mexicans are crossing the border there. I mean, you're seeing Chinese nationals, you're seeing people from the Middle East, from Africa, all over the world, and virtually no Mexicans. What's happening with that?
Well, you know, the thing is that it has surpassed the authorities. And the bad thing about it is because of these irregular crossings and illegal crossings that they are doing, it because of the cartel and the organized crime, it has completely affected the Mexican nationals. One, they have shut down numerous times the pedestrian port of entry of El Chaparral that was made for, you know, Mexican citizens. The population in Tijuana has grown so much. But ultimately, you know, the cartel has found a way to, you know, found another market with exotic migrants. That's the way that they call it. Migrants from Afghanistan, migrants from China, migrants that they're paying exacerbated amounts of money. And the migrants that they do not have that amount of money, they're smuggling them through ladder cartels. These are the people that they're putting ladders on top of the wall, They're climbing them, they're jumping them, and ultimately selling them a ticket to smuggling them from a particular mountain into a death row of, you know, a desert, into a place that is completely dangerous. So that's the complete difference.
All right. Yeah. I'm glad you cut that right there, because that kind of is the essence of the Chinese soft invasion, but it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's by China. Now, we only have about 9 minutes left of the show, RT, so I think that's enough video. Let's discuss moving forward and what you see taking place, this summer. Man.
It's going to depend on what happens in that courtroom. Okay, that's going to start a trajectory. And I just think that at the present rate, I think they're going to, if they can't bring him down legally, they're going to do something to bring him down physically. And at anywhere along this trail, okay, anywhere could be an ignition point. If this was a regular battlefield, okay, the U.S., we were engaged in war. We had the power to do whatever we wanted. I would immediately, these camps that are being set up in the U.S. with foreigners that we know are going to be U.N. soldiers, first thing I would do is surround those camps and do what needed to be done. I am scared for Americans what's going to happen, because physically and man per man, we're going to have a real problem when the violence starts. And remember, they'll be getting weapons from governments. Any weapons that the U.S. citizens have are weapons that they've purchased or acquired. So immediately on the onset, you're behind the gun, for lack of better terms. Thanks.
Wow.
You know what? It tears me up, because you know what needs to be done. And Obama actually said this, one of the only smart things he ever said was, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. And that's probably the smartest thing ever came out of that idiot's mouth. He's behind this. If there was a way to arrest about 23 people, 24, that their immediate arrest and placed in jail would stop a lot of what's coming. I don't know how to do it, because you go and apprehend them, you're a kidnapper. You see what I'm saying? This is,
yeah.
We know who we are as human beings standing in front of our Lord. We know that we love our country. We know that we love our Lord Jesus. We know that we love all those little babies that are being murdered in the womb all the way up to the day of their birth. We know these things. Man will not accept it. They would prosecute us. and execute us.
The FBI, this is where
people have a hard time. And you, at some point, all of us, myself included, all of us are going to have to make a really tough decision. If they draw first blood, it makes it a lot easier. Thing is, though, they'll have a huge upper hand. So, you know, like I said, this is not a normal battlefield. We said months ago, if you remember the show, Doug and I discussed this, we will be fighting overseas. Our military will be gone and overseas, and the conflict will start at home. That's when they'll outfit and release all these UN soldiers upon us.
Yep.
Okay. If I had my way, as soon as they started shipping weapons to these people, I would be intercepting those caravans, and those weapons would become my weapons.
and think about Fast and Furious, I should add.
Yeah.
What was that about?
There's so much going on that we don't even know. Okay. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be on that curve, okay, and keep the knowledge coming and hang with us until they actually take us off the air, we need your help. Okay. We told you how you can help us. It's easy. You don't even have to use a credit card. Stick some money in an envelope and send it here. We have a lot of things that we have to do, or this country's going to go down, and I don't want to go down in flames. There's things and places we need to be. There's things that need to be said. We're trying to rally people. We have to. And we're just rallying to be Christian patriots and have a fellowship. I said nothing about violence. I just want a big Christian patriot fellowship. Okay? The ones that are helping us, thank you. Hang with us till the very end. Think about it. And listen, we have the insider group here with this show.
Yeah.
You need to get on that if you want to talk to Doug and I directly. I know I'm making it a part of my world to be there every Sunday night with Doug. Okay? And that's where you can get on there. That's where we can discuss things.
Your first Sunday of every month, 7 o'clock.
First Sunday of every month. It's a blessed time. We have a good time. We laugh. We cry. But we're all face-to-face with each other.
Yep.
Through Zoom. And anybody can talk to us. You know what I mean? It's a good, good thing. Because you're going to come to rely on us here in a few short months. Ladies and gentlemen, right there. Also, this the Hagman Coffee.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Listen, folks. This is the best coffee, I dare say. I'll stack this up against any Starbucks out there, anything. He's got three different levels of this coffee. This particular one will make your hair stand on end. I was warned by my cardiologist not to drink it.
No, don't scare people off. I mean,
just kidding. It was my wife that said that.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's scarier than my cardiologist. I almost said gynecologist. Okay. That would have went well. What? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you open a bag of this stuff, man, you just almost wish you could just sit there and sniff it for the longest day. It is awesome. And he's got K-cups, too. Yep. And we're at a competitive market price.
Yeah, actually, our prices went up, and we didn't raise our prices. So
that's what I'm saying. It's like $14, man. This is a big bag of coffee, man. Okay, this helps the kids. This helps us. Okay.
And Eric the Tech sends his kids out to pick the beans themselves because that's where
we go. Here we go. Put them on the mule and take them back. Was that really beans?
I'm telling you, but you know, and thank you for that, RT. I appreciate that.
You know
what?
I just we're all family, all of us.
Yeah,
we're all family. I just, ladies and gentlemen, I just need a little more involvement. Doug doesn't like to ask. Okay, I don't mind. I have no shame. Yeah, anybody knows me knows I have no shame, and I'm not ashamed to ask for help.
Nah,
I've had some of the greatest help I had in my life came from strangers.
You know, and that's the thing. We all need to make sure we're helping everyone.
Each other.
Our heart has to be pure, and our intentions have to be pure, and our actions have to be righteous. They really do.
Read your Bible, pray, support Hagman, okay, Hagman PI. And please, ladies and gentlemen, go to the comments on Rumble. Create an account to where you can actually comment, and leave us a comment. And stop subscribe. And say hi.
Yeah.
You can email me. Okay, RT@HagmanPI.com. Okay, there's two N's in Hagman.
Yep.
All right. With just Archie and the folks that do it. But I have some people I hear from every day, and it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I've made a lot of friends just by emails. And if you're trying to get the dog, a lot of times I'm gonna screen you, because we get a lot of yo-yos come through. So, there's a bit of a screening process. If I ask you a question, just answer it. All right. I don't mean anything offensive by it. It's just I got to triage it before I bother Doug with it.
Okay? Man, I'll tell you what. I'm serious. I'm still working on, I think, January's emails. I apologize.
we're trying to get them through it, folks. But listen, we love you guys, and we want to hang with you as long as possible.
Well, I appreciate everything you do, RT, and folks, we appreciate you. Look, buckle up, because 2024, not for beginners, and it's going to get rocky.
Very rocky.
Amen. All right.
Very thanks, soon.
All right. God bless, my friend.
Right on, brother.